Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Lots of things are better together. Hockey, food, golf, or a nice cold one on a warm spring day hanging out on the deck. But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This is the GM Shuffle.
I mean, it's lying. They're lying. You know, like they're lying. Everybody's lying. You just, you know, this is really the time of the year that you as a general manager, you as a consumer of the NFL, have to measure twice before you believe anything.
You're listening to the GM Shuffle with Michael Lombardi, presented by DraftKings and VSiN. Here is Femi Abebefe.
Welcome to another edition of the GM Shuffle with Michael Lombardi, presented by DraftKings and VSiN. I'm your host, Femi Abebefe. As always, make sure to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Our producer, Elliot Bowman, with us on the ones and twos. And Michael, we are not in the offseason. We are now in lying season, as we have dubbed it here on the GM Shuffle, baby. I mean, the NFL news and cycle keeps rolling, and we're starting to get some breadcrumbs as we start to get into the player acquisition months of the season.
Oh, it's the best time of the year. It's the most wonderful time. I mean, everybody can say whatever they want. Everybody's lying. I love my best one was when Luke Getsy came to the Raiders and just was wowed by Aiden O'Connell's tape. I was like, really? Like, you're selling that? You're going to sell that? I mean, look, I hope Aiden O'Connell turns out to be a great player. Mm-hmm. I really do. He's a great kid. But you ain't saying that. You're lying if you're saying that, right? You're coming in saying, oh, boy. You know, I need a quarterback. And so it's just kind of the tenor of the offseason. It's like, it's not as bad as Adam Silver saying, we're going to emphasize this all-star game and play harder and do all these things, you know, and they got the line to move from what, 358 down to 349 or something. And then of course it, you know, one team almost scored two. What did it, was it 221 to 186 or something?
Yeah.
211. I mean, it's a joke. I mean, it's a joke. It is a joke.
There's so almost 400 points scored.
It's lion season. I mean, it's lion season. They're lying. You know, like they're lying. Everybody's lying. The one, you know, that it's out there, you know, you hear it all the time. Bears asking for a historic haul. They won't move. You know, they like Neighbors maybe better than Harrison. They love J.J. They love J.J. McCarthy and Bo Nix as much as Caleb Williams. So, you just, you know, this is really the time of the year that you as a general manager, you as a consumer of the NFL, have to measure twice before you believe anything.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice for anybody who's listening to the podcast for any sort of thing, whether it's work, relationship, whatever, and also for some people in the NFL who might be listening to the podcast. Good thing to always keep in mind there. But I think before we get into the lying season, because we have a list of lies that we've already heard, and we're like,
I'm keeping them.
We're like, what, 9 days, 8 days into the offseason here? But before, I did want to set the table, though, just for—
and send us, if you hear lies, I mean, we should encourage the audience, too. If they hear lies, just send them to us, please. We're keeping track of it.
Yeah, tweet at us, you know, at M. Lombardi NFL, at Femi Abebefe. Tweet at us. We'll go ahead and add it to the rundown as we continue to keep track of this and build up the ledger over the course of this offseason here. But did want to inform people, though, our listening and viewing audience there. For listening, it's not going to really affect you guys if you're listening in podcast form. The viewing audience, though, on DraftKings Network, we are going to go back down to two segments as we typically do this time of the year instead of the full four segments for the full hour. Anything that spills over after those two segments, though, will be obviously in the podcast form. So if it cuts off there, if you're watching on DKN on the DraftKings Network, make sure you also check us out in podcast form as well if you want the full version of the GM Shuffle here, just because, hey, we're just going to go down to a 30-minute show versus the hour show since it's less stuff going on this time of year. But as we say, we're keeping track of all the lies and what's going to come up here this NFL season as we'll break down the calendar, the dates that you need to know throughout this offseason. But let's get to those lies here, Michael. Let's talk about what we've been hearing already 8 days into the offseason. The first one, Mike Tomlin, head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, loves Justin Fields. And you already see the betting market shaped that way. At our show sponsor, DraftKings, Justin Fields' next team, the Steelers are the favorite. Is this a fact or fiction, Mike Tomlin's affinity for Justin Fields?
I don't know if that's actually true or not. Here's what I do know is I don't – this Kirk Cousins to the Steelers, which is also one lying season. I think we have that down the list. Yeah. I don't think the Steelers are in a position to financially pay Kirk Cousins. Like, what I don't think people understand when they throw these rumors around is that they don't understand there's two things every player has, his ability and his cap number. And so if you say to, let's say you say to Kirk Cousins, we want you in Pittsburgh. Well, you're giving him the starting quarterback job, and that money that you pay him is starting quarterback money, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think Pittsburgh's of the mindset to give away the starting job. I'm not saying they love Kenny Pickett. I'm not saying they're going to stay with Kenny Pickett. But what I'm saying is they're going to sign Mason Rudolph. They're going to sign they already have Pickett on the roster. And if they could add another quarterback to the team, whether it's Tannehill to compete or be the second string or the third string, they may do that. But it's going to be an economical deal. It's not going to be we're going to overpay. Fields makes sense in that regard because you can trade for Fields without promising him anything, right? But the problem here is you would never give up a high pick for Fields if you don't think you're going to extend his fifth-year option. Follow me?
Yep.
So there lies the rub. He may love him, but does he love him enough to pay what the another lying season is? The Bears could get a first or a second for Fields. That's another one that was in lying season. Okay, you're not paying a first-round pick for the guy unless you're guaranteeing him the starting job and you're going to pick up his fifth-year option. You're just not. Why would you do that? You know, he's on the books for next year at money, but you're not giving away a first-round pick for a one-year deal. So there, you got to attach the premise, whatever the statement is, to what the contract could be. And in this case, I don't see it. Now, if they could get Fields for a fourth rounder, sure, why not do it, right? Mm-hmm. Why not? Because if he plays a little bit, you're going to extend him. If he doesn't play, you may get his compensatory rights, and he may pick up. You may pick up a pick for him. What is the value if you give up a one? You're saying he's my starter. Do you think Pittsburgh's ready to say that?
Yeah, I think they want someone to come in and compete. I mean, they want Kenny Pickett to compete with Mason Rudolph is what Pittsburgh is saying. And the deadline for the fifth-year option, in years past, last year it was May 2nd. I would imagine it's around that time as well. It's like early May for when teams have to decide whether they want to pick up that fifth year there, which is the big thing with Justin Fields that you've talked about. Like, they're not going to go ahead and give anything up if they're going to go ahead. It's May 6th is what you said, Elliot? Is that where we're at? May 2nd. May 2nd will be the deadline for the fifth-year option. So you got a few months at least to sign.
Who's going to pick it up? The Bears aren't even going to pick it up. The Bears don't want to pick it up. I mean, you know, when you pick it up, it's guaranteed. So, I mean, why would you pick it up? It's guaranteed for skill. I mean, for injury, you know. And so, like, if he goes out and gets hurt, you're on the hook. They're not picking that up. I mean, I think that's one of the biggest fallacies, if you go through it, and I need to do this, is all these fifth-year options are not getting picked up. That's why second-round picks have become more valuable than even first-round picks, because you're not picking up. You're not getting – everybody says, well, you got to get back in the first round to get that fifth year. Nobody wants it. Who wants it? Now, there's some players you want it for. Justin Jefferson you want it for, right?
Yeah.
You don't want it for Jalen Reagor, but you wanted it for Justin Jefferson, right? You know what I'm saying? So it goes back and forth based on the level. I think this is a hard one. Nobody's picking up the fifth year on Fields. I mean, I'm sure the boys of the worldwide leader will pick it up, but nobody else will.
So for Fields, if they're not going to pick up the fifth-year option, that obviously decreases the value that Chicago can get, despite wanting the historic haul. It decreases the value that Chicago would be able to get here. Do you see them end up parting with him for like a day three pick, or is it a day two pick, like a third rounder? What's the range? What's the ballpark here?
I don't think if I were a GM in the league, I would be in a wait and see mode on this. Like if I were Atlanta, and if they had an interest, and who knows if they do, I would sit there and wait. I mean, unless somebody comes in your building and says, yeah, he can be our starter. Yeah, I've seen him. I worked with him. I know the kid. I know him really well. I mean, Luke Getsy went out of his way to endorse Aiden O'Connell. I mean, you know, and then, of course, he gave a bunch of superlatives about Fields, which everybody ran to and believed. Like, do you really think Getsy's going to say a bad word about Fields to anybody publicly? Of course not. This is what cracks me up, is we take public comments as if they're gospel. Yeah. That's why we're in Lion season, you know? So I don't know. I mean, look, Schefter reported that there's a one and a two. We had Tom Pelissero on the show, and you know, he kind of didn't dispute it, but he didn't believe it either, right? And so for me, I have a – you can't give up a one if you're not willing to pick up the fifth year. And for me, I don't see anybody picking up the fifth year, but you never say never.
Yeah, maybe there's a suitor out there. All it takes is one team to go ahead and fall in love, I guess, out there in terms of the value for Justin Fields. Moving on with some other lies that we've already heard. This one was kind of being bandied about a little bit mid-season point. Now it's starting to bubble back to the surface, and this is with Raiders wide receiver Davante Adams going potentially to the New York Jets and reuniting with his buddy Aaron Rodgers here. Why did this make the lying season list here? Are we supposed to believe this? Could this happen? Could the Raiders maybe want Davante Adams out to go ahead and recoup some draft capital? Is this something that might come to fruition later on this offseason?
I think to me, in listening to people that have interviewed there talking about the team, if you're the Raiders, right, and you sit there and you say, what assets do I have and what could I part with? Well, I mean, Devontae's due to make $16.98 million. That's all guaranteed, right? And he brings some value to the team. Now, do you think this team's ready to win right now? You know, I mean, I know Antonio Pierce thinks it is, but do you really think? I don't think it is. So, and I believe that there should be some interest in moving him because he does have significant value. And if the Jets are willing, look, the Jets are still being run by Rodgers. We know that. Now, they're trying to clean things up with inside the building. But, the greatest coach in history of all time, is going to try to exert his leadership and take over the franchise and take it back.
Take over your cell phone, too.
I don't think the Adams one qualifies for lying season. I think there's validity to it. I really do. I think it's going to be something worth monitoring. And I do think it would be the Jets if the price is right and they could recoup some value from it. Look, if they don't get a quarterback in Las Vegas, do you think Adams wants to be there?
No. He's not going to want to hang around for that. He has 3 years, $67.7 million left on his contract. The cap hit right now, $25.3 million. In 2025, I'm sure they would obviously restructure some stuff there. He's age 32 right now, would be 33 in 2025. That cap hit is $44.1 million. Like, that's obviously going to get restructured. Nobody's carrying that for a receiver at that age. But do the Jets have the cap space to go ahead and do that? I mean, I know Rodgers restructured some stuff, took the pay cut and all that stuff, but they still have guys on their Sauce Gardner that they're going to want to pay, other guys that they have big deals coming up. Can they afford Davante Adams, or are they just all in for this year with Rodgers?
Well, I don't think – we get back to this when we come back. I don't think people realize that the Jets were the number – two spending team last year in the league. They spent a ton of money for that team, so they're going to spend if they have to.
Yeah, and I guess everything is tied to this all-in Rodgers mentality here that they've got going on, and we'll see if maybe they go ahead and add one of his old friends from Green Bay. Maybe they add another one. People talk about David Bakhtiari potentially going there. We'll break it all down next year on the GM Show.
The
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. I mean, we have a plethora of games to bet on. You can bet on game-by-game, totals, sides, series props, conference finals, MVP, NBA finals, MVP, whatever you want. DraftKings has it. So all you have to do is download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SHUFFLE. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SHUFFLE only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Well, as we were heading to break, Michael, you were mentioning how the Jets were in the top two of spending this past season here. Does that indicate in your eyes that this is a team that could be motivated to add even more, despite the fact that they could be up against it with the salary cap here in a couple of years?
Well, I think they're in a sunk cost fallacy, right? I think that they've spent so much money that they got to keep spending. And I mean, when you break down the money spent over the last 5 years, Cleveland has been the number one team in spending from 2019 to 2023. You know, they were one of the top spending teams. Last year, the five top spending teams were Cleveland, the Jets, Houston, Buffalo, Baltimore, San Francisco, and the Giants. I mean, those teams spent money. You know, and the least spending teams last year were the Rams, the Patriots, Washington, Tampa, Green Bay, Detroit. You know, and so, look, spending doesn't really equate to winning. Good decisions equate to winning. I mean, over the past 10 years, from 2014 to 2023, the Patriots ranked 32nd in cash spending. In 2014 to 23, what did they win? They won three Super Bowls. So it doesn't equate to... It doesn't equate to you're going to win. You know, Buffalo the prior 2 years have been with the highest spending teams in the league. So, but I think with Rodgers, they're clearly all in on spending. I mean, you know, now New England says they're going to spend. Well, they have 32nd over the last 10 years. They're 31st over the last 5 years in spending. So, you know, but you know, people hear spending and they think that's being cheap or not being cheap. I think it's really a reflection of making good decisions. You know, Green Bay's got a really good young team, and when you have a good young team, you don't spend as much cash as when you have an older team, or when you have a quarterback. So, you know, if you have a quarterback, you don't spend because he's got a good young quarterback. So, I'm not saying that as a negative towards anybody, but as a positive towards sometimes overspending, like the Jets did, gets you in trouble, which could put them in a problem trying to sign Davante Adams.
Well, would you say it's fair to say that spending equals urgency? Like the teams who have been spending are the ones who are urgent, yeah, saying, hey, we got to win. Like the coaches tend to be on the hot seat because the owners say, we've given you the resources, go out there and put a winning product on the field.
Right. I mean, look, nobody would have guessed last year that Houston was the third most spending team in the league. Nobody would have guessed that because you think they're a young team, but they've spent a lot of money, right? They've spent a lot of money. But, you know, like last year, 2022-23, Cleveland wasted a lot of money. The Jets were one of the highest spending teams that year. New Orleans, Miami, because they did the Tyreek Hill deal, they made trades. You know, you're going to spend money. I mean, spending money is not a bad thing, but spending, I think there's a difference between being cheap and being measured. Thrifty, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
measured, yeah.
Measured, exactly. Thank you. You know, and I think there's a difference. You don't want to overspend. The worst thing you can do in free agency is overspend for players. You know, look, Baltimore's two best defensive players, they signed off the street in August. Well, one in August, one in September. So, you know, it's that when you're in that we got to have it player, got to have that guy, got to have that guy, got to have that guy, you're probably going to overspend, and that's never going to be good.
Yeah, you don't want to pay the top of the market there, and sometimes that's what happens to some of these teams like the New York Jets, who are – the clock is ticking. On like we've made the jokes about Robert Saleh and all that stuff, but the clock is ticking.
Buffalo's clock's ticking too.
Yeah.
I mean, Buffalo the last five years, they've been in the top four of spending. I mean, and McDermott's fired coordinators. You know, there's been changes. The clock's up. They either got to win now, and I don't know if they have – they spent a lot of money on older players. Like, I think their window – I read today, well, you know, they got to count on Von Miller bouncing back. Really?
In 2024? Well, I mean,
they can't cut – have you seen that contract? Oh, my nice. God. How's he going to bounce back? It's a horrible contract.
Yeah, that's not a spot you want to be in right now in 2024, needing Von Miller to bounce back. The last two for lying season, we can group them together here, but this has to do with the NFL draft. A couple of quarterbacks who maybe outside Twitter voices are not as high on, but maybe the NFL might be a little bit higher on. J.J. McCarthy out of Michigan, Bo Nix out of Oregon. Those stocks appear to be a little bit hotter within league circles. Yeah. Is that lying season or is that fact here?
I think that's really of a conversation. I think there's some people in the league that want to do more work on those guys. There's intrigue. And Harbaugh, I don't think, was throwing out superlatives about JJ if he didn't mean it. So I think there's more to it than meets the eye. And I think you got to peel that back a little bit and take a look at it and see. You know, like, look, you know, it doesn't matter where we pick them. It matters how they play. And we get so caught up in this notion of, like, this guy – is the best receiver. You know, I'm told reliably that Harrison in some buildings isn't the number one receiver. We said this on the show yesterday, mm-hmm. that the kid from the neighbor's kid from LSU and the kid from Washington, who I have a hard time saying is Roma
Dunze.
They actually think they actually have him. Some teams have him higher than Harrison. Now, whether that is that lying season, we don't know. Now, you're never going to convince the draft Knicks of that, but they don't really know either.
Yeah.
And so I think you got to be really careful here about what you're hearing, about who's moving up draft boards, who's not moving up. The NFL is now, partly we're entering lying season, but we're also entering the season of where the people that understand the league, we're going to do a seminar on the Daily Coach on Thursday, and people are welcome to join it. It's open. You just go to the Daily Coach, the daily coach, and we're going to talk about the grading systems. We're going to talk about grading players and how to grade. And a lot of it, and most of the conversation is going to center on what the player can do for the team, understanding what you want in a player. That's a hard thing to – most people that are draft Knicks are just scouting for no one. They're scouting for the universe, where you have to scout for a specific need. You know, it always comes down to who do we want to be? That's the fundamental question about personnel. What kind of team do we want to be? Want to be a fat team, skinny team, big team, little team? Who do we want to be? That's why when Pierce is talking about the Raider way, he never mentions who he wants to be. He talks about all this character and toughness stuff when he never mentions size and speed and dominating both lines and, you know, having vertical, having over route receivers that can separate from people. That's what the Raider way is, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's who they want to be.
Yeah.
So I think to me that's part of this whole conversation is who do we want to be? And the draft Knicks, they got their gig to do, but they don't really know which each team. It's hard to know which each team wants. If you can't fit the player to the scheme, you're not going to be a very good scout.
Yeah, which is why oftentimes you see like the misses and the hits, and it's like, oh, I missed on this guy. It's like, well, you were thinking about him just from like a general standpoint versus how he would fit at a specific team. And it's like not everybody's a fit for every team.
Well, like let's take Nolan Smith. Let's take Nolan Smith, for example, the kid who's a first-round pick of the Eagles, right?
Yep.
He can't play. He's got to play down. There's no Sam linebacker anymore in the National Football League. It doesn't exist, right? There's no end-of-the-line Sam. The Carl Banks is the guys that can play at the end, dominate a tight end, drop into coverage. We don't have that position anymore. So he's not that. So he can't play there. He's got to play down. And if he's down in a nickel front, then people can run the ball at him because he's now going against a tackle who is bigger than he is and can push him around. Can he be a sub player on third down? Okay, yeah, maybe he can, and maybe he can be an impactful guy. But can he actually you know, can we get him there? Can he power the tackle back? Can we do? See, there's so many different things to it. And the positions that evaporate from the system, if the scouts don't understand that, you know, it's like, well, we just can't make everybody a nickel rusher. We just have a team of nickel rushers.
Yeah. No, it's. I think that's a really good way to look at it there. It's like there has to be the fit that works for each and every team there. It can't just be looking at a guy and just say, hey, plug him for all 32. We do have a big date that's coming
like when
up.
When you watch the Niners, right, you watch the Niners. Debo, everybody loves Debo. But Debo's really an inside receiver. Debo and Kelce have more in common than Kelce and Gronk have in common. Now, I know that sounds completely foreign to people that watch the game, but Kelce and Debo are inside receivers, okay? You call Kelce a tight end. We call Debo a wide receiver. But they essentially function within the numbers. That's where they make it. Gronk's an on-the-line wide. Gronk and Kelce are as different as San Francisco is to Miami. They're that far apart. They both call themselves tight end, but they really don't play the same position. Gronk's an over-route separator. He's going to run down the field seams. He's going to block at the point of attack. Those are the routes he runs, whereas Kelce's going to be effective on third down. He's a wide receiver inside. And so if you don't know how all these fit within the scheme of your team, it's really hard to or how your coach wants to do it. That's why Ayuk on the outside is as important to the 49ers scheme as anybody, because you got to defend the width of the field.
There's been talks about Ayuk maybe – they're trying to figure out what they should do with him, whether to give him a contract or trade. Anything you're hearing on this Ayuk front here? I've seen a lot of Bay Area people talking about what they're going to do with Brandon Ayuk.
Well, I think they realize how valuable he is to their team. I think Kyle does, certainly. You know, and I think, to me, they got to figure it out. Look, they got two more years of a low cap number. They're going to have to move some pieces around, but they're fairly smart and shrewd. I think they'll be able to do that. You know, the Super Bowl, when you go back and watch them, I was critical of them in Blitz Zero. But I thought that when you watch the tape, it was more mental errors than it was anything, especially the last play, the third down play. I mean, the guy that let him down was Kittle. I mean, Kittle really, you know, when you I didn't understand where he was. That's one of his worst games I've seen him play from a mental standpoint, from a physical. He couldn't separate. He couldn't get open. I don't know if he's hurt or not. And then he missed the protection on the third down play. The ball should have gone to McCaffrey, and he was in the wrong spot. He didn't slide over to pick up McDuffie coming across. So, you know, those are the little things that cause you to lose. And, you know, that's a game where when they watch that tape, Kittle really let them down.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people would have expected that. George Kittle, first team All-Pro tight end. And, hey, but sometimes in those games, it's one within the margins, and those little things end up adding up to the big thing, ultimately the result of the game. Before we go here on the DraftKings Network, we do have a lot of big dates that we have to outline you guys for the NFL offseason. Starting tomorrow, franchise tag window opens, and we'll get into some of the franchise tag candidates in the next segment here for our podcast audience. But at the DK Network, franchise tag from February 20th to March 5th, and then the scouting combine February 27th in Indianapolis until March 4th. That's where we'll get all the athletic testing numbers, the medical information on all these draft prospects. And then the new league year begins. Happy New Year, March 13th, free agency. And all the moving and shaking starts to begin the transactions in the National Football League. Workouts begin April 1st for these teams there with new head coaches. All the teams will report April 15th. And then the NFL draft April 25th. Almost 2 months away from the NFL draft in Detroit, Michigan, the three-day bonanza. And that will be the offseason for the National Football League. We'll talk more on the other side in podcast form. But for DK Network, we'll see you guys next week.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, there are some big candidates once the franchise tag window opens tomorrow who could get the tag, guys who are pending free agents. Josh Allen of the Jaguars. Trent Baalke already came out and said that they're likely going to tag him for a second consecutive year. He's coming off a pretty big season there. Saquon Barkley for the Giants. We all remember the running back summit that took place on Zoom last year. Barkley and Josh Jacobs both candidates to maybe get the tag or head into unrestricted free agency. Brian Burns for the Panthers, Kyle Duggar of the Patriots, T. Higgins for the Bengals. That's an interesting one there at wide receiver. Obviously, Ja'Marr Chase, his pending contract negotiations, he's eligible for an extension this offseason. We'll see what they do with T. Higgins. Jalen Johnson for the Bears at corner. Justin Madubuike for the Ravens had a great year at defensive tackle. Mayfield for the Bucks, who I'm assuming they're going to go ahead and re-sign, but we'll see what happens there. Michael Pittman for the Indianapolis Colts, a wide receiver. Christian Wilkins, the defensive tackle for the Miami Dolphins. And then Antoine Winfield for the Buccaneers, who ended up making the all-pro team here. The running backs, I think, are interesting. Are we going to do this whole dance again this year, or are they all going to unrestricted free agency?
I mean, I would assume the Giants probably try to keep the Barkley. He wore a jersey to the Rangers game the other night. You know, I mean, I think Higgins is definitely not going anywhere. The Bengals have almost $60 million of cap room going into the offseason. So, you know, they're going to try to keep him. And they're going to franchise him as they can. I think the interesting one is Wilkins at Miami. They have no cap room. They're going to have to do a lot of restructuring. They still have to sign Tua. It's hard to find good defensive linemen in the open market, especially ones that can rush the passer and play the run like he could. You know, so I think, look, it's there's a lot of teams that have the cap room to do some things. There are some teams that don't have any cap room, you know, that are struggling. I saw the Baker Mayfield. I love this one. You know, the Patriots could be interested in Mayfield because this could qualify for Lions season two, or maybe aggregate season. Elliott said this to us in the break that, you know, some of these people are just putting stuff out there. There's no truth to it. Well, the Patriots could be interested in Mayfield because Elliott Wolf's now in charge of personnel, and he was in Cleveland with John Dorsey when they drafted him, and so was Alex Van Pelt, and there was another link. Like, stop. Stop. Like, if you're going to sign Baker, you're saying you're giving him the starting quarterback job because that's what Tampa has on the table. Do you think anybody else in the league is going to say, Baker, you're my starting quarterback. Here's the money. Like, that's just all just trying to drive a price up. How stupid do you have to be? Like, okay, New England has the third pick in the draft. They have a chance to get a quarterback. You know, if they're going to go for a cheap quarterback, they could they can get into the Jacoby Brissett era, do that, right? You know, or they could go after Russell Wilson, somebody on cheap where Wilson's still getting paid by Denver. It's like ridiculous. Like, Denver's going to restructure. We've heard this one, too. Denver's going to try to restructure. They've been trying to restructure Russell Wilson. Why would Russell give up his guarantees? Like, he didn't take stupid pills. Like, he's got guaranteed money. Why would he give it up?
Yeah, and that was the whole crux of the discussion during the season. And then they ultimately benched him because they were trying to get him to restructure. He said, no, kick rocks, which is what he should say.
Yeah, why wouldn't he? I would tell him to kick rocks, too.
Yeah, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense there on the Russell Wilson front, as it pertains to Denver at least. But we'll figure out what happens. I mean, we got the report. Jordan Schultz, our buddy who joins us on VSiN at times, he said that the self-imposed deadline from the Buccaneers of coming to a long-term extension with Mike Evans is today. And if they can't get something done, Mike Evans will likely head to unrestricted free agency. I'm sure people will go ahead and say, hey, maybe the Carolina Panthers, since he worked with Dave Canales. Who knows what happens with Mike Evans? I would imagine he wants to go somewhere where he can win immediately, since he's getting up there right now in those years. But it's going to be fascinating to see.
We all say
all this.
But they want to get paid. We all say that they want to get paid.
That's,
I mean,
true.
Pay. Look, when Devontae Adams went to the Raiders, were they going to win immediately? I don't know. I mean, you know, but he got paid.
That's fair. That's fair. And which I also say, hey, you know what? We're all trying to get somewhere where we get paid, man. That's part of life. We all got bills, don't we? But that's the NFL franchise tag news, which will open again, once again, coming up tomorrow all the way till March 5th will be the deadline before guys enter unrestricted free agency. We haven't gotten a chance to touch on this here, but I wanted to do it, though, since this is kind of the final pod to do it. The Niners parting ways with Steve Wilks at defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
A lot of people were flabbergasted or upset. They thought Wilks was done dirty, given the fact that he was a defensive coordinator of a team that made it to the Super Bowl. But I remember us talking all throughout the postseason, and we were saying, hey, this Niners defense, what's going on? So I guess on one hand, it's surprising to see a Super Bowl participant part ways with a coordinator. But on the other hand, you watch what happens in the playoffs, Super Bowl withstanding, and it's like, okay, this defense was a weakness for this team in the postseason.
You know, I mean, anytime you're the head coach, you're going to have to make some tough decisions. And I think I saw this one coming because they just were never – they were never getting better defensively. They were actually getting worse. And I think, to me, there were games that you could look at and say, well, they won. But you could see there were holes in the armor. There were chinks in the armor. And that's what a head coach has to do. you know, and I don't know if this was the right marriage between Wilkes and Kyle, but, you know, I think when you watch the game tape of the Super Bowl, they were they had some miscommunications defensively when they had a blitz. I think the one thing Walsh used to say this all the time is your defense has to be able to rush in the fourth quarter. Like, everything about the West Coast was predicated on, we are going to throw the ball to get the lead, we're going to run the ball to keep the lead, and we're going to have pass rushers that can win the game in the fourth quarter, whether it's Fred Dean, Charles Haley, whomever, right? And, you know, their pass rush died in the fourth quarter in two Super Bowls. They've given up 21 points, and they gave up, you know, they gave up the final, they gave up 23 plays in the fourth quarter, and they couldn't get a stop. You know, they couldn't really rush. So that's not on Wilkes, but I think that's really on the philosophy. So they got it. To me, it's on the philosophy. It's going to be interesting who Kyle hires, because I think he needs to hire somebody who's one-third man, one-third zone, one-third, who's got some multiplicity to him, like a Mike McDonald had, you know, where it's not all blitz, it's not all zone. It's a little bit of everything, so that when the fourth quarter comes and we need a pressure that we can get off the field with because we can execute it, right? Mm-hmm. You know, that's the key. We've got to be able to execute and handle it. And the only way you get better at handling that kind of stuff is to have the do it constantly over and over again. And I think, to me, that's where when the Niners, when you're a zone team and you go play man, it becomes a real problem. You know, and you know, if you just look at Boeheim or Don Chaney or John Chaney at Temple, both two big zone college basketball coaches, they start their thing with, they start teaching the zone with man, because man becomes zone. And if you can't play man in the fourth quarter of an NFL game, you're going to get beat.
Yeah. You got to be able to throw different pitches, especially in the fourth quarter. Especially with the offenses that you're going to find in the postseason. If you can't be multiple, it's hard to go ahead and get those stops there. So Shanahan goes ahead and parts ways. Here's what he said when he talked to reporters. He said, it just ended up not being the right fit where we're going and where we're at with our team from a scheme standpoint and things like that. Looking through it all throughout the year, through these last few days, I felt pretty strongly that this was a decision that was best for our organization. That's Kyle Shanahan on parting ways with Steve Wilkes. Before we get out of here, though, Michael, this was a fun exercise that we wanted to do here. Our season awards, our producer Elliot Bowman went ahead and tallied up all of the awards in terms of what we gave out this season for Fraud of the Week, for Fred Palermo, Best Game Plan of the Week, and On the Lamb, the leaders, I should say, plural, for Fraud of the Week, Cowboys defense, Browns defense, Bills defense, three times you gave them the Fraud of the Week. Cowboys was week 5, week 15, the wild card round, Browns week 7, week 13, wild card round, and the Bills week 9, week 12, and the divisional round. Those were the leaders for Fraud of the Week here. I guess Fraud of the Season, those three defensive units.
I think they became the frauds, right? Everybody thinks this Cowboy defense is this elite team, and Micah Parsons is great, and you know, and Lawrence is still a good player. They lose Diggs, but they're not as good as people think they are. The Browns defense, I don't understand how they played so well at home and then they on the road, but they became fraudulent, especially late in the season when they couldn't get stops. And the Bills, I mean, look, the Bills, you know, they're sitting there in Western New York right now. They played a game where they controlled the football for 37 minutes, gave the Chiefs the ball for 22, and the Chiefs scored 27. And your defense and your head coach is a defense coordinator. I mean, that's a problem, right? They had 6 third downs in that game. You think they're not?
Yeah.
So, you know, and then look, I mean, the Fred Palermo Award winners, right? That's the multiple, that's for the best game plan. How about this? The Chiefs win it 3 times all year. They won it the divisional round, the conference championship, and the Super Bowl. I mean, if you're going to plan, that's the perfect time to plan it, right? Yep. I mean, we gave it to the Cardinals 3 times because they were competitive. The Texans, you know, week 18 and the wild card round, they won it 3 times. So, to me, it's about perfect timing and execution, and they did it. I mean, you got to give them on that. And then, you know, I love this one, On the Lamb. I mean, I had the Giants on the Lambs 4 times. I had the Falcons 3 times, although, you know, they don't need any help. They're good. And the Broncos early in the season when we figured out that they were bad.
Yeah, they ended up turning things around. A little bit of an upset for me on the Lamb. I would have guessed the Falcons would have been the leaders because it felt like each week I was like, I think the Falcons are on the Lamb once again, but it ends up being Big Blue, the G-men, going on the Lamb. I mean, the week one, The Sunday night game against Dallas.
Well,
to start
the week one,
year,
no show. I mean,
insane.
I mean, look, we're now reading about, you know, they brought Kafka back, but he had the play calling taken away from. We talked about that during the season. I mean, it was. I mean, we know the head coach is out of control on the sidelines. You could see it. Yeah. Now, there have been reports. Pat Leonard from the Daily News reported. Everybody's been reporting it. I mean, they've got issues there. They've got to get their head coach to act with poise and you know, and they've changed the coaching staff, you know, and they've made some different things that they do. But, you know, if you don't have poise, presence, and focus as a head coach on the sideline, then you're gonna lose your at. I mean, one of the things Walsh used to talk about all the time was, you know, if you're highly emotional, you lose the players. I mean, that's a fact. You can't. It's like when you're sitting there screaming about the officials, your players are going to start. They're not going to buy into you.
Sounds like a coach in the NBA that was coaching in the All-Star game last night, yelling at officials all the time.
Who? I didn't see any of it.
I'm not particularly
in the game.
I was watching
Oppenheimer. I'm 2 hours into Oppenheimer. I'm not watching anybody. I mean. That's the biggest joke of all. Where what's his face? Silver comes out and says we're going to compete and try harder, and they turn around and say, hey Adam, here you go. Here's a 400 point night for you.
Yeah, the players pretty much told him fuck off. Is what the players told him with that try harder stuff. But hey, it's a player run league, and that's what happened out there. Shout out to everybody who slammed the under there. That thing was over like one quarter in. There was 100 points on the board. It's like good luck, buddy. But that does it for us here on the GM Shuffle podcast. Thank you to our producer Elliot Bowman, as always, on the ones and twos. Thank you to DraftKings. Thank you to Beast. And we'll be back on Thursday with more. Michael, enjoy the time off until then. Or at least not time off. You'll be working, but time away until then for the GM Shuffle. And we'll see everybody on Thursday.